Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Eating. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered. I'm Ed Kratz, joined by my colleague, John McMullen. We are with SI.com, Eagles Today. We are here at the NovaCare Complex. It is a beautiful Friday morning, and it's game weekend. The NFL season opened Thursday night with the Buffalo Bills beating the Los Angeles Rams, and now we're going to see what the Eagles can do as a big truck gets ready to roll by us here, but we're going to see.
Now we're at the NovaCare Complex. Yeah, all right. LTL Freight, we'll give them a shout-out. Right. Always happens here at the NovaCare.
Yeah, never a moment without a distraction. But anyway, Eagles open their season Sunday, 1 o'clock in Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. John and I will be there, and we will bring you everything that needs to be brought to you. But until then, it's Friday, last preparation day really for the Eagles before they head to Detroit, and John, let's talk about this game a little bit. Obviously, the Detroit Lions were a bad football team last year, 3-13-1. The Eagles went out there at 2-5 and turned their season around with a 44-6 win. But the Lions are a little bit different team this year, and obviously it's the opener. The Lions don't realize they're not supposed to be any good this year. Meanwhile, there's all these Super Bowl expectations swirling around the Eagles. Do you have any concerns about this game?
From a talent standpoint, no. I think it's pretty clear the Eagles have more talent. But, yeah, I mean, you saw it yesterday. Last night we're taping this Friday, as you mentioned, a football Friday here at the NovaCare Complex. You see, and I don't like to call them the defending. I like to call them the reigning Super Bowl champions. The Rams get waxed because, you know, things are different. That's not the same group that won the Super Bowl. You have this incredible turnover always in the NFL. And Sean McVay said he got humbled a little bit. You know, he's the guy when it comes to modern coaching in the NFL. He admitted he was a little humbled by that. I do think the Eagles seem a little bit overconfident, dare I say. They obviously trounced Detroit last year, 44-6, I believe, was the score. It's a different team. It's a different Detroit team. I know they're worried about Aiden Hutchinson, the number two overall pick from the Eagles. Their offensive line is very good, but Frank Ragnow might not play. He's got a groin issue. Halefuli Vaitiʻi, our old friend, is out on injured reserve. So they still have Penei Sewell. They still have Taylor Decker. So they have some talented people up front. But skill position people don't scare you. I mean, T.J. Hockenson's a really good player, but he's not an explosive tight end. Whereas Dallas Goedert's more of an explosive tight end. The receivers, until Jameson Williams comes back, he's not ready to go, coming off a torn ACL. So they don't have really splashy guys at receiver. They have a good slot receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. But again, that's not going to scare anybody. Running back DeAndre Swift, good player, not explosive. So I do think the Eagles are far more talented. My only concern, Ed Kratz, my only concern is overconfidence, and they seem a little bit haughty, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, when Jason Kelce, their center, comes out midweek and kind of lights a fire and sends a message saying we better not be comfortable, you know, we need to make sure that, we are going in there with a purpose, and we're not just going to roll out there and expect to win, you know, but I understand what you're saying about overconfidence. We talked to Nick Sirianni, their head coach, a couple times this week, and you know, he does seem a little bit like, hey, you know, we got this game in hand, and I don't think it's going to be that easy. I know, like you mentioned, the offensive line for the Lions, they still have the two good tackles in Sewell and Decker, but the interior, Frank Ragnow can't man up at center, you know, and Vitae's already out at guard. I mean, you know, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Milton Williams,
Jordan Davis.
Not sure how much he's going to play, but, you know, you're talking about an interior part of that defensive line that could eat and eat big if Vitae is already out and Ragnow's not there. And I mentioned Davis. You mentioned Davis. I mean, you know, I'm kind of putting the over-under on him and snaps that he's going to get at about 25. I'm not sure he's going to play, you know, like a 40 to 50 snap load. And I'm not sure if he'll even show up on the stat sheet in the time he's out there. That's not what his job.
Yeah.
Not initially. It's not. It's going to be to occupy the blockers, free up some guys on that line or behind him with a linebacker core. That's really what I'm really excited to see is this linebacker group. And I throw Hassan Reddick into that mix, even though he might line up as an edge guy at times, as one of the overhang players that Gannon talks about. But this linebacker core, Kaiser White, to me, you know, he can guard tight ends. And that's a problem the Eagles had last year. And Hockenson, in that 44-6 loss the Lions had last year, he was the only guy that did anything. I think he had 89 yards on 8 catches, something like that. But he was it. And he might be all they have again this week. And if he is, I'm anxious to see White, maybe N'Kobe Dean. If he's in there, I think he'll have a small package of plays as well. But I'm anxious to see how this linebacker group performs in covering the tight end. Hockenson will be a good test. And in the run game, I mean, Swift, he doesn't have the explosion, but, you know, I think, you know, he's a good running back, you know.
Yeah, he's a move the chains type of guy.
Yeah, and he can hit some home runs if you let him get out into space. So that's what I'm anxious to see is this linebacker group. But, you know, I do agree that overconfidence is an issue. How about on the Eagles' side of the ball, offense and defense? Any concerns there at any of those positions?
My two most concerns, you're kind of nitpicking. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to start at safety, and obviously he's only been here for about 10 days, so he's not going to know the whole defense. You mentioned he's a very good slot player moving to safety here in Philadelphia, but you mentioned Hockenson, Kaiser White. That's going to be sort of a team effort. C.J. is going to be part of that as well. We'll see how quickly he can pick up the defensive scheme. And I'm talking about when nobody else is talking about, and that's special teams. And our old friend Dave Phipp is the special teams coordinator out in Detroit. I was talking to Tim Twentyman from DetroitLions.com. You know, probably other than the offensive line, when they're healthy, the best part of the Lions team is probably special teams. They're good in punt coverage. They're good in kick coverage. They got a decent return man in Khalif Raymond. They have a Pro Bowl punter on Jack Box. Again, it's not sexy, but I can see Dave Phipp. He knows Philadelphia well. Conversely, the biggest weakness nobody talks about with the Eagles, they weren't good on special teams last year. They don't look like they've improved that much, except Jake Elliott, who was great. But the coverage wasn't great. Returns weren't great. Britton Kobe's probably going to be elevated and probably going to be the kickoff returner and the punt returner. He'll be secure, but I could see Dave Phipp trying to push things and try to make a splash play. Because if you're Detroit and you're trying for an upset, you're going to need that wacky play sort of on special teams or somehow. And maybe it comes on the third base for the Lions.
Yeah, and we saw the Eagles have a punt got blocked last year. I mean, you know, I could see Phipp maybe trying to load up on maybe finding a weakness. Again, but you don't know who's going to be on special teams. I mean, I guess you have a good idea if you're Dave Phipp who's going to be, you know, protecting on the block punt or, you know, on the punt return punt team. So, you know, but he's a veteran coordinator, special teams coordinator, Phipp. And you're right, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he tries to cook up something that could swing the momentum of the game. And remember, this is a game that has been billed as a complete sellout in Ford Field, 70,000 plus expected to be there, standing room only seats. So, you know, the Eagles want to keep this crowd from getting too loud, obviously. They want to take them out of the game. But if you can come up with a big momentum-changing play, especially on special teams, you know, that crowd's going to be roaring. And that's really going to tilt the momentum in the Lions' favor, and then the Eagles will have to find a way to get it back. But, you know, I like the weapons, obviously, they have. You know, it's Nick Sirianni's job now to find a way to get three weapons incorporated into this offense. Last year it was Smitty, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. Now this year you had A.J. Brown. Now you got to find a way to keep all these guys invested and keep these guys running their routes, knowing the ball could come to them. And we'll see how that all incorporates itself as this game goes on and then as the season goes on. And I'll give you another concern, too, and maybe it's not like a first-game concern, but it's the running back group. You know, Miles Sanders, to me, you know, he's healthy, he's ready to go, but for how long? You know, he's played 12 games each of the last 2 years, and my opinion is they need Sanders to be healthy this year. They need him to answer the bell 15 games at minimum, because the depth at this position isn't that great. We know Trey Sermon came in late. Maybe he'll become a factor. He's a big guy, 6 foot, 215. But he won't be ready early on. So Sanders, to me, has to stay healthy. There's no Jordan Howard waiting in the wings on the practice squad, a guy who you know what he is. He's a goal line touchdown maker. Nobody like that now. So you're looking at a former third-round pick who's been in the league 1 year, Trey Sermon.
Yeah.
You're looking at Kenny Gainwell, who really struggled this summer, and he's got to prove something to me and to John and others, I'm sure, that summer work was a fluke for him and that he can catch the ball and he can be effective and he can move the chains. We're going to see. Boston Scott, to me, is a really good running back, but after Sanders and Scott, I mean, it gets pretty thin pretty quick, in my opinion. So I think that's a concern. Miles Sanders has to stay healthy. He will be for Sunday, and we'll see what he does, but he's got to answer the bell week in and week out. Yeah. And he may even have to play through some of these nagging injuries that have kind of sidelined him maybe in the past.
Yeah, I think it's – and it, remember, Miles comes in with a bit of chip on his shoulder because it is a contract year. People are sort of downplaying him. Really talented player, but he hasn't put it all together yet in his first three seasons. I think he's going to have a good year, but you're right. I'm not confident in the depth. Kenny Gainwell did not have a good summer. Boston Scott, I'm with you. He's a good player, but you don't want him playing 10, 15 games as your lead back.
Right.
I mean, there's some limitations there.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are pretty excited they were able to get Trey Sermon, a third-round pick, as you mentioned, last year. But I got to tell you, if the Eagles don't have the best offensive line and running game because of run game coordinator Jeff Stoutland, it might be San Francisco. And it tells me something if you can't succeed as a running back in San Francisco, because everybody succeeds there. And the fact that they gave up on him that quickly, that's a little bit of a red flag for me. But the Eagles are taking the optimistic route with Ian Book as well, who was a fourth-round pick last year, and they were able to get these guys in here late. I know Nick Sirianni's excited about that. Maybe Trey Sermon helps. Look, everybody can run behind this offensive line. That is, I think, the strength of this Eagles team, and that's why we talk about the ceiling and the expectations. I don't know where that ends, but the floor of this team is not going to be bad because of that offensive line. When you can block people, you can win a lot of games in this league.
Give me one key matchup that you see. I know we could go through a lot of these, but just give me one big matchup that you like in this game or you see as pivotal to a win for the Eagles.
Well, talking to the Eagles coaches a lot, they're a little bit worried about Aiden Hutchinson. Now, part of that is the unknown. But I do remember a couple years ago when Nick Bosa came into this league with San Francisco, and he created such a splash. I'm not saying Aiden Hutchinson is going to be that player, but number two overall pick, Eagles are a little bit concerned with him as a natural edge rusher. But the good thing for the Eagles, you got Lane Johnson, you got Jordan Mailata, two of the best offensive tackles in the game. So that might be strength versus strength. We don't know. A lot of unknowns with Aiden Hutchinson, but he's got a lot of talent. And conversely, same thing, edge rusher. The Eagles, what, 31st in sacks last year? Ed?
Yeah, 29 of them. Yeah.
I think Detroit was the only team behind him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So Hassan Reddick, you know, you mentioned whatever you want to call him, Sam linebacker, edge rusher. He's going to be an edge rusher. He's going to go chase the quarterback the best majority of the time. And we talked about the Lions. strength with Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker at tackle. So that to me, the pass rushes on both sides and really from the edge. Nick Sirianni says that can wreck a game as an offensive play caller if you get that big rush from the edge.
Yeah, good keys there. I think what I really like in the Eagles' favor is their wide receiver group, and you could even throw Dallas Goedert in there against this Lions secondary and linebacking core. I think a big advantage Eagles when you can throw out there Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Quez Watkins from the slot against a Lions secondary that really isn't, you know, any great shakes in my opinion. So I think the Eagles, and maybe this will be a downside, is they're going to try to throw the football here and get a lead and take this crowd out of it. But you don't want to forget about the run too. I mean, they really made hay last year on the ground. They came out and ran the heck out of the football and winning 44-6. But I really think the Eagles are going to come out throwing, and I like this matchup, and that's why I think they do come out throwing, because this receiving core, as we all know, is exciting now with Smith, Brown, Watkins. You have Zach Pascal, who I like maybe more than John does, and Dallas Goedert, who I think is going to have a huge year. So that, to me, I like that matchup that favors the Eagles, and I think that's what's going to help win them this game.
I will say this about the Lions secondary. They haven't done anything yet, but they do. Jeffrey Okuda's back from injury. I think he was the third overall pick.
Yeah, we'll see about him.
A lot of talent. Mike Hughes is their nickelback. He's a former first-round pick. So these guys haven't lived up to expectations yet, but they do have talent. Mm-hmm. So you never know if that light is going to come on. And Ed's right. It certainly looks like the Eagles think they can make hay in the passing game against this team. Is that the strength of the Eagles' offense, though? I don't know. I think it's building off that offensive line and running game. So it's going to be interesting.
Give me a prediction. Who do you want to win?
I do think Detroit is just not talented enough to beat the Eagles. Even week one, home opener, all the excitement, sold out crowd. Last time we were there in Halloween, there was about 40,000 people there probably, so it was empty. Most of them were Eagles fans. It's going to be a little bit different environment this year. But I think the Eagles are too talented. And now that Ragnow may not play, look, I thought it was going to be close. I thought it was going to be a 24-20-ish game. Now I'm starting to go maybe 28-20, 31-20. If the Lions don't have that offensive line, I don't know if they can stick in the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for the Lions to score some points. I know the Eagles' defense has got a lot of new parts, moving pieces. You mentioned Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You know, what kind of role will he'll play, you know, just coming in on the last day of August and then having to play safety, something he hasn't done a whole lot of in his previous years in the NFL. But I like the Eagles' offense to put up some points. I don't like the Lions' defense to put up some points. So I would probably call it like a Eagles 27, Lions 17 type game. I think the line is only 4 points, maybe 4.5 in favor of the Eagles, but I think they cover that, and I think they cover it by double digits, a 10-point win. I'm gonna say Eagles 27, Lions 17. So that's gonna do it for John and I. Hope we answered some questions for you, but we'll be back with more coverage, and make sure you read us. We'll have plenty of game day coverage, plenty of pregame coverage at si.com/.
Say hi to the bee.
Yeah, there goes a bee. www.si.com/NFL/Eagles or at eaglemaven.com. You can follow everything you want, videos, stories from both John and I.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.